I think you've probably all known people that in whatever situation in life, they made a difference wherever they were. Maybe it's been on your job and you say, well, when you need something done, they're a person that can get everyone together, get everything motivated, get everything on the right direction, that they can make a difference. They can influence others around them in a powerful way. Maybe there have been people in your life who have had an impact. Who is it that has made the most influence, the most impact in your life? Now, you might give the right answer, and you say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ has, and that's a good answer. But what other person besides Him has it been that has impacted your life and made a difference? You can attribute a lot of who you are today because of them. Don't you want to be one of those kind of people? People who have an impact, people who make who are an influential force wherever they go, an influential force for good. Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And so I hope that you'll find that to be true. Certainly, there are probably more than four, but when looking through Scripture, I encountered four very powerful influences that we can exert as we go out and we live in this life. And that if we will show other people these things, then we will make a difference in their lives. A difference for good. A life-changing difference. And quite possibly, an eternity-changing difference. Let's consider what the Scriptures have to say. When you think about this, you might consider, first of all, that one of the most powerful influences that we can possibly share with anyone, that we can possibly show to anyone, is the message of the cross. When we talk to people about how much God has loved us, and about how obedient Jesus is, about the love that both the Father and the Son have shown to us in what happened on the cross. Such an ugly scene. But yet we know that in another sense, there is a rugged beauty to that. That we see that and we hear about what Jesus did for us. And it's not hard for it to bring a tear to our eyes because it is such a brutal scene for one so innocent and so pure to suffer so greatly for us. Because it was the only way. It was the only way we could be saved. Do you remember Jesus' prayer? Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Jesus is praying there. If there's any other way these people can be saved, if there's any other way that is according to your will that salvation can come, let it be that way, not the cross. But your will be done. If this is what has to happen, I'll do it. When we look at that, Jesus said in John chapter 12, verses 32 and 33, And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. How can we influence people to come to see who Jesus is? How can we influence people to change their lives and say, I want to be a Christian? Jesus says, when I am lifted up from the earth, that will draw people. That will impact them. That will influence them. That will make a difference in their life. And when you come to see the cross, you'll never be the same. I've never seen an execution. I don't suppose that I really want to. But I suspect that those people who sat there at the foot of the cross, those people who even were in the vicinity and saw what happened on Calvary, that they would never be able to remove the image from their mind. We see that by faith. And just like those people, would never be the same. When we come to see Jesus, when we come to see the cross, it influences our lives so dramatically that we are never the same. And we share the message of a Savior who died for us, who died for them. And you tell others about that. It can make an impact on them. It can influence them so that they are never the same. Paul wrote about that in Romans chapter 5. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God shows us that He loved us so much when we were the enemies, we were the sinners, we were the wrong ones, we were the guilty. Christ, the pure, the innocent, He died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled we shall be saved by His life. Not only do we not get the punishment we deserve, but we get something that we could never earn. The cross. When Paul's talking about the preaching of the gospel in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died." I have to tell people, Paul says. I have no option but to tell people about the cross, because when I realize what that cross means to me, when I realize that He died for me and the change it's made in my life, think about that change in Paul's life. He's turned my life upside down, entirely around. I've gone from being this horrible person to this preacher of the gospel. Paul says, I see the change that the cross has made in my life. I have to share that with others because He died for me, and I have to give my life to the preaching of that so that I can help others to see the power, the motivation, the impact in people's lives of the cross. As I look around tonight, I see an awful lot of Christians. I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful that you've come to know that message of the cross. But if you want to have an impact on others around you, take that message wherever you go. Share it with others. Let them know that that is the path to salvation. You know, another powerful influence I read about in Scripture is when we are active in doing good works. When we are out in the world and we're being the kind of people that we should be, when we are serving others, when we are helping others, when we're serving God, we care about others. Think about this kind of stories, that the parables that Jesus used to teach about the kingdom of God. He teaches about forgiveness, caring about people enough to forgive. He teaches about a man who was beaten and left for dead on the side of the road, and someone who would stop to help him. In the writings of the New Testament, we read about it, if we would see our brother in need and we would not take care of him, how does the love of God abide in us? We need to be those people that when there is something good that needs to be done, we see the opportunity, we seize the moment, we do it. And our good works have an influence on those around us. Jesus said this, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." What is it that Jesus does not say? He does not say, "Look, here I am, I'm doing the good work right here, give me the spotlight. Where's the guy with the spotlight? Give it to me, I want to be seen. Shine that light on me." He says, "Let your light so shine." Just go out and live that way. Let the kind of person that the cross has made you shine forth. Be that good person. People will see those good works, and guess what? It's going to have an impact on them. When they see you doing good, it's going to change their life. Not necessarily because they're the person receiving it, maybe because of that, but because they see you doing good, it says here, they'll glorify your Father in heaven. They'll say, wow, if he can do that, if she's going to help in that way, maybe I could do some part of that. Maybe I could help out. How many times do you see a situation where there's something, someone who needs help, and no one wants to stop and help, but one person does, and pretty soon there's a crowd forming around wanting to help? Good works have a powerful influence. Good works are part of how an everyday Christian lives. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. We're out living in this world. We leave this building and we go out, and who do we interact with? Who do we come in contact with? We come into contact with people that often need help. They need our assistance. They need. And we're the people who are helping with those needs. And our good works say something about who we are. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you remember in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, lay something aside, storing up, that you don't have to have an emergency collection when I come. Those funds are there to help the needy saints in Judea. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, he talks of the attitude to be a cheerful giver and things like that. Well, he says in verses 12 through 14 of 2 Corinthians 9, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God, while through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. It seems to be Paul saying there's more to giving than just meeting that need. The Corinthians' giving to relieve some needy saints was about more than just what those saints needed. It says here there's proof of the ministry, there's many thanksgiving, there's people who are recognized that they have obeyed the gospel. You impact people in doing those good things. Well, what's another powerful way that we can influence others? Well, we talked about it this morning. We talked about being a good example. Remember those wives in 1 Peter? We could talk about them in verses 1 through 4, where he says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. And he goes on to talk about how they would adorn themselves, not outwardly entirely, but also giving a focus to the inward person, the meek, the quiet spirit, the gentle person that's precious in God's sight. But how are they won? By the conduct, observing their chaste conduct, their fear of God. When you are living for God, and you're denying certain sins that others are participating in, you say, I can't do that. And when you are actively looking for good things, here's what will happen. If you're in a factory working, or you're in an office working, and there's some kind of a problem, you know what people are going to come up to you and say, something terrible's happened in my life. Will you pray for me? I know you must be a church-going person. Will you help me? Some of you live lives where your job involves service to others. And as you carry out that work in such a godly way, people say, I can see your example. I can see the kind of person you are. And you've had an influence. You've had an impact. I mean, you're the person who can help me when I'm down. You have impacted my life just by being here. Those wives, their conduct, their fear of God had an impact. Paul talks about this kind of life in Galatians 2:20. One of my favorite passages. I'm afraid I say to you, I used to tell people you can't have more than one favorite because favorite means it's the one. But I've told you that a lot of passages are my favorite, so you'll just have to go along with that, I guess. And it says there, I have been crucified with Christ. Paul's saying, I died. Jesus was nailed to the cross. My life is gone too. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What Paul's saying there is my perspective on myself and what I'm trying to show to everybody else is this is Christ. This is what Christ would do. This is an example of how Christ would live. It's not an arrogant thing saying, look at me, I'm the Messiah. Not like that. It's saying that if Jesus was here, here is what he would want me to do by following his example. And I hope that you will see that example and follow that as well. Four powerful influences. You can share with people the cross and tell them how the cross has changed your life. And it can change their life. You can do good. Just go about doing good things. And it will make a difference. Just by living a life of faithfulness to God, your example can change the life of others. And when you're willing to share with them the Word of God, we don't need to be ashamed of the Word of God. There are ways to work that into everyday conversations. You're talking about something, you say, well, you know what the Bible says. And everybody say, no. Well, the Bible says. And you can share some practical tidbit of advice. Being able to share the Word of God. The Word of God will change people's lives. And when you can share the gospel with them, the good news that God wants them to be saved, it will impact their lives. In John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, remember that Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This verse says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. The Word of God is powerful. It's living. And it can change people's lives. You may share quotes with people about different things that you come across. I share that with people. I'll read some of it. You know what I read today that was either so funny or so profound? And I'll tell someone that. Why can't we do something as simple like that with the Word of God? I was reading my Bible today, and it said this, and this just applies to the situation so well. And they may say, I don't want you talking to me about the Bible anymore. Well, find somebody who doesn't mind you talking about the Bible to them. To be taught by God, to hear and learn from the Word of God. You know, the Scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What that tells me is that when people hear the Word of God, it is a powerful influence, so powerful that it will make them believe. It will alter the course of their life when they hear the truth. Now, as you're sitting here, you might have me tuned out, and you might be thinking about any number of things under the sun. Maybe you've not had supper yet, and you're thinking, wow, you know, it won't be too long. And maybe thinking, well, I got that drive home. Or work's going to come early tomorrow. I know I can do that. I can tune a speaker out and not realize what has been said. But I want you to know that when you're hearing the Word of God, the speaker may not be strong, but the Word of God is. The one who's delivering the message may not have the greatest skill in the world, but the Word of God is powerful. And the Word of God, when it produces faith in your life, it can change your life to be someone that you never could have been before. This passage was read for us earlier. I'm reading that. And I want you to notice something. I've talked with you tonight about God's grace. That God's grace that's revealed in the cross, it truly is amazing grace. We are given the grace of God to do good works and to serve as an example to others. It makes a difference in people's lives. But God's grace teaches you. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. The past, what to get rid of. Deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Get rid of those bad things out of your life. Live for God soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. When you get rid of the bad and you put in the good, then you can look for something. Look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are a lot of books that will help you in your life. There is one book. There is one Word of God, the Bible, that can give you something to look for after this life is over. One book that allow you to look for Jesus. Four powerful influences. It'll change your life and it'll change the lives of those around you. So we'll ask tonight, we're going to offer an invitation. What is it that's influencing you tonight? Maybe you've heard that gospel call that Jesus died for you. He was buried and put in a tomb, and He arose on the third day, never to die again. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father, and God wants you to be saved. And so if you will do that, just like He did, if you will die to sin, be buried in baptism, and rise to walk a new life, a resurrected spiritual life, doing good, serving as a good example because of the cross and because of the Word of God. If that'll be the influence in your life, you can look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. If there's a child of God, the Father waits to receive you home, but what is it that's influencing you to stay away? For those who are Christians, let's take the cross and share that message with folks. Let's be doing good works. Let's serve as good examples, living out our faithfulness and sharing the Word of God with anyone who will listen. But if you're not ready to meet God tonight, would you think about the message of the cross and think about the good works that you spent enough of your life not doing and the good example you could be to this assembly in obedience to the gospel and obedience to the Word of God. If we can help you in any way, just come have a seat on the front and we'll stand and sing the song.